You are listening to Making Bank, where we uncover the mindset and success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business.
Welcome to Making Bank. I am Josh Felber, where we uncover the mindset and the success strategies of the top 1% so you can amplify your life and your business today. Super excited and honored for today's guest. Dr. Garland Vance has been helping people and teams get clarity about their life and leadership for over 20 years. He's an author, speaker, and a consultant. And along with his wife, Dorothy, they co-founded Advance Leadership to help high-capacity leaders and organizations live and lead with purpose, productivity, and peace. He has also helped his clients, which span from Fortune 500 companies to nonprofits, stress less, accomplish more, and fulfill their highest priorities. He is the author of Getting Unbusy, which Forbes named as one of the 7 books everyone on your team should read, and is a former leadership development pastor and director of one of Chick-fil-A's nonprofits. Garland has poured into influences at all levels. He's helped thousands of people to discover and live out their life purpose, enhance their clarity and productivity, and impact the world around them. Garland has earned his doctorate in leadership and spiritual formation from Denver Seminary, and then there he has researched the effects of business on leaders and how to overcome both individual and organizational overcommitment. As much as he loves the work, it's not his highest priority. Garland enjoys reading, watching movies, drinking his coffee, trying new food, engaging in deep conversations, running, and East Tennessee hiking. But most of all, he loves spending time with his family, with his wife, Dorothy, and their 3 kids. So I'm excited to welcome coffee-drinking Garland Vance to Making Bank.
Hey, Josh, thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Well, my boys, they love making coffee, so they get up in the morning, they're 10, almost 11, and they're twins. And so they make their coffee and put all their bulletproof stuff in it and
nice.
Love having decaffeinated coffee. So it was kind of funny you had it in your intro there.
Yeah, man, I love a good drink.
Well, I guess tell us a little bit about how, I guess, what kind of got you started on this path with entrepreneurship, and you're a pastor and everything.
Yeah.
So kind of give us the inside scoop here.
Yeah, so it really kind of started back in 2013. I was working with one of Chick-fil-A's nonprofits, and I started having all of these physical problems. And so I went to my doctor. His name was Dr. Tate, and I was like, hey, doc, what in the world is going on? I'm having all these problems, chronic migraine headaches and exhaustion and forgetfulness and heart palpitations. Like, I'll just be sitting at my desk, and all of a sudden, I'll start pouring sweat. You know, what in the world is going on? And he was like, Garland, tell me about your life. And I was like, oh, Dr. Tate, it's a good life. It's just really busy. Right. And Josh, you know, like all of us say that all the time, right? Somebody says, how you doing?
We're
like, oh, I'm great. I'm just busy. Right.
Right.
And so I said, I'm just really busy. And he said, well, tell me what busy means. And I'm a high achiever kind of guy. And I was like, oh, I like it when people ask me this question. So I said, hey, doc, you know, I'm busy because I work 50 to 60 hours a week for this nonprofit that I'm leading. I'm working on my doctorate that takes 10 to 20 hours a week. I travel about 60 days a year. You know, I've got a family, 3 young kids. We're helping our church get some new leadership programs started up on the side. And oh, by the way, my mom passed away last year, so we slowed down a lot to give ourselves some space to grieve. And my doctor was like, Garland, I know what your problem is. I said, okay. And I'm thinking brain tumor, you know, like what, you know, heart disease.
What in the world?
Right, exactly. And he goes, this is stress. And I got mad, and I said, I don't feel stressed out, Dr. Tate. And he said, well, your head does about 3 times a week when you have these migraine headaches that you keep talking about. And I said, why in the world would I be stressed out? And he said, because you're so busy. And honestly, I didn't believe him at first, because I was like, everybody's busy. We all talk about how busy we are. And I even said that
right
to him. Everybody's busy, Dr. Tate. And he goes, I know, and it's killing us all. And so since I was working on my doctorate in leadership, I was like, I'm going to start researching this and figure out what is busyness actually doing to us. And I knew I had this entrepreneurial bent. I knew that I wanted to start my own company in a few years. And I had heard the horror stories of 70-hour weeks, 80-hour weeks, 100-hour weeks, you know.
Yeah.
And that really kind of being what everybody expected. And once I started researching busyness, I was like, man, it is killing us physically, mentally, emotionally, relationally. It's killing us in so many ways, and there's got to be a better way. And so I ended up dedicating the rest of my doctoral research to that topic and started a company to say, hey, entrepreneurs and high-capacity leaders, there's a different way to live where you stress less and accomplish more.
So what, I guess, tell us a little bit, I mean, like, what is busyness? I mean, because obviously, you know, we're, if you're an entrepreneur, you're running your company, you know, your day in and day out stuff. I mean, you're raising kids and cooking and just all different things. And so, I mean, we have three kids. We run a huge e-com company, and I do the show and martial arts and all different kinds of things. But I mean, I don't feel any stress, and I don't see it, and I don't think I'm in a stressful situation. Yeah. So I guess what is busy, or what puts you into that level or category where it is affecting you?
Yeah. So busyness, simply put, is an overcommitment to too many good commitments. So Okay. Nobody's busy because of bad things. It's kind of like, at least when I was in middle school, I grew up in the South and we had these big buffets of food and, you know, fried chicken and terrible, everything was fried.
Yes.
And I can remember looking at all of that food and being like, all that food is so good. But when I ate too much of that food, it became really bad. And it's the same way with commitment in our lives, is we do all these things that are good commitments, but when we put too many of them in our lives, it becomes really bad. So we're trying to live a good life, it backfires on us and creates an overwhelmed and stressed out life. And typically, the only way to know if you're busy is if you're feeling like, A, you have no margin in your life whatsoever. You can't do the things that you want to do. You can't slow down at all. You can't take a breath. And maybe another way of saying it is you're so busy trying to get the most out of life that you're not able to enjoy the life that you actually have. Mm. So if that's the case, then that's when a person is too busy.
I understand. Yeah. No, that makes sense, because, you know, people are – okay, oh yeah, I'm busy, and you know, but then they need a way to correlate it. Okay, well, how busy is that? Is that too busy? Is it not enough busy? Is it I just feel busier because I'm maybe doing more than you, but you're doing less than me.
So, yeah.
But maybe you're the one that's more stressed out and busy than I am.
Yeah, and that's what's funny, is there's no magic way of everybody comparing themselves and being like, okay, Josh is the busiest guy in the world, or Josh is the most stressed out guy in the world. There's no way of really comparing that. But all we can do is really take a look at ourselves and say, I'm not enjoying life, even though I'm doing all of these things that should be really enjoyable.
And then, like, so when we're in that spot, so say we're busy, I guess, and you started to have, like, health issues. I mean, I guess, other than obviously glaring health issues, headaches and heart issues and things like that, what are kind of some signs before we get to that point that we should be looking for?
Yeah, so I think there are a lot, and the research, what I discovered in the research was it really is, there's mental, there's emotional, there's relational, there's productivity ones, there's even massive effects on organizations. So let's just talk, let's talk mental, let's talk relational for just a second to touch on those. So mental, one of the things that happens with busyness is we experience what I call the busyness vortex of hurry, worry, and scurry. Okay, so hurry is when we feel like we've got to be rushing all the time. Like when you're driving down the road and you're doing, you know, 40 miles over the speed limit trying to get somewhere really fast, even though you don't have to be anywhere really fast. Like there's just this hurry. And as soon as we start hurrying, what begins to happen is the faster our body goes, the more we begin to worry. And so anxiety begins to enter our minds. We begin to think in terms of scarcity. I don't have enough time. I don't have enough resources. I'm never going to get anything done. And then when that happens, our minds kick into what's called scurry. And scurry is when we can't focus on anything for more than a couple of seconds. Our mind is moving at such a fast pace because we have so many commitments. And that hurry, worry, and scurry is a cycle. So the more we hurry, the more we worry, the more we worry, the more we scurry. And guess what? The more we scurry, the more we hurry again. And so it becomes this kind of infinite feedback loop of moving faster and not being able to slow down mentally. Now, here's what's fascinating with it too, is relationally, here's what it does. So whether you think about your personal relationships, you know, the people who are really important to you,
sure,
or if you think about your business relationships, those business relationships that really help move your business forward, here's what's fascinating, is that the busier you are, the more you slip into something that's known as depersonalization. And depersonalization is actually one of the stages of burnout. But what depersonalization does is we begin to resent the people who we care about the most, right? So I can remember when I was in the throes of busyness and my kids would come up to me. I'm not proud of this, by the way. But my kids would come up to me and be like, "Dad, can you get me a glass of water?" Right? They're just little people at this time. "Dad, can you get me a glass of water?" And I would get internally so mad at them. Like, seriously, you can't get your own glass of water? What's wrong with you? And I would get mad at them. Or somebody would come to me at work and ask me for help, and I would get angry at them. So depersonalization is one of the killers. And if you can imagine, depersonalization is about the worst thing for the relationships that you care about the most. And it's a terrible way to create great customer experiences as well.
Right. Definitely. And so then as you start seeing these come on and you're aware of them, what's kind of that next step that we need to look for?
Yeah. So what the research found is that there's five steps to help you go from stressed out and overwhelmed and exhausted to what I call purposeful, productive, and peaceful.
Okay.
And the first step is you have to decide to get unbusy. So what most people have done is that they've unintentionally drifted into a really busy life. And when they take a step back and look at it, they can see all of these areas of their life that they've just unintentionally drifted into an unhappy life. And so the first thing that you've got to do is you have to decide that busyness isn't worth it. And for me, that was a really hard decision, because one of the things that I was committed to being a type A personality. Like, I really like being a type A personality, but I didn't want to do it in a way that was killing me. And so that was for me the decision that I had to make. And I think that's what, if you're listening to this and you're sitting there saying, "I'm busy, I'm overcommitted, now what do I do about it?" The first thing you've got to do is decide busyness isn't worth it. There's got to be another way. And once that decision is made, then the other pieces can fall into place.
So you make the decision like, "All right, cool. I don't want to continue being busy like this." And then where do we go from there? Like, for me, like, what I do is I have a lot of stuff where I block my days, block my time. So I always have set stuff in there and things like that, and downtimes and everything like that. So I guess how is that, or I guess what is the best way for somebody to become then unbusy after then they decide?
Yeah. So after you decide, the second step is deconstruct. So I made a big mistake when I first started doing this, because I thought, okay, once I decide to get unbusy, then the next step is to identify my life purpose, or, you know, create a strategic plan. Big mistake. And the reason that's a big mistake is because when you go from "I'm overwhelmed, I'm stressed out, I'm too busy" to "I'm going to identify my life purpose or create a plan for my life," when you do that, you add more commitments to an overcommitted life. Okay, so the second step is you've got to begin deconstructing. And there are a few things you've got to begin focusing on. The first is inhibiting beliefs. Okay, all of us have these, but there are three big inhibiting beliefs that keep us trapped in busyness. And those are, I need to be more, I need to do more, and I need to get more. Okay, those are the things that really keep us kind of working way past how, you know, when we need to work, and staying overcommitted. The second thing you've got to deconstruct are some bad habits. For example, one bad habit is saying saying yes too quickly and too often. And so unbusy people begin to say no more than they say yes. You know, Warren Buffett has kind of famously said the difference between successful people and highly successful people is that highly successful people say no to almost everything. And right. So you begin to deconstruct this bad habit of when somebody asks you to do something, just immediately being like, yeah, I got it. I got this. And then the third thing that you deconstruct are you deconstruct unwanted commitments. And so all of us have these commitments in our life that we've said yes to that we really regret saying, whether it's, you know, meetings you're a part of or teams that you're on or you know, coaching your kids, softball team, whatever it is. We've all said yes to things too quickly. And it's beginning to deconstruct some of those unwanted commitments from our lives. When you begin to do those three things, Josh, you free up about 5 to 10 hours a week in your life. And that gives you the ability to move into step three.
And then so with as we're deconstructing all that, allowing us to free up then, what are some things that help us like make those decisions? Because obviously we're disconnecting from certain relationships or things like that.
Yeah.
As you mentioned.
Yeah. So so what I love to do is I take people through an exercise called the commit to uncommit exercise. And it's not fun, but man, it pays huge dividends. So in the commit to uncommit exercise, the first thing that you do is you write down every commitment that you've made. And I'm not like, that's not like work, family. I mean, you go into work. Here's all the meetings that I've committed to. Here's all the projects that I've committed to. Here's all the relationships that I've committed to. You write all of those things down. Most people are shocked by how big that list is. I mean, you're going to see a list of anywhere from 100 to 300 commitments that you've got to, that you've made. The second step is you then, beside each of those, you just write down how much time per month each of those takes. Okay, just estimate, you know, an hour here, 15 minutes there, 2 hours here. Next to that, you then write a happy face, a sad face, or a straight line face, right? And happy face is, I love this. It makes me happy. It brings me so much energy. Sad face is, this sucks the life out of me. I hate doing this. And then the straight face, which will be most of the faces probably, is kind of like, meh, you know, it doesn't add to my life. It doesn't subtract to my life. I just have to do it. And okay, so those are your first three things you do, right? What are the commitments? How much the time? What's the face? And then next to that, you go down the list of all of the sad faces and the meh faces, and you make one of four decisions, okay? Decision number one is I'm going to delete this from my life. I'm done with it. I just quit. Yeah. I don't need to tell anybody about it. It's not going to hurt my character to just quit doing this. Okay. So delete it from your life. The second is you delegate it. So if you're in the position where you can kind of give this away to somebody else and you say, I'm going to give this away to my kids. So I did this with bookkeeping with my kids recently where I was like, I hate tracking receipts. My kids, I can pay them to track receipts for me. Boom. I hate it. I'm going to delegate it to them.
And that's awesome.
Right. Yeah. So I pay them money every month so that they'll take care of my expenses.
Yeah.
So there's delegation. The third is negotiation. And negotiation is where you say, hey, maybe I have somebody who they're doing something they hate and I'm doing something that that they love, and we can kind of switch places and I'll take care of one thing and do it in exchange for them. And so you negotiate.
Right.
Or your fourth option is you just accept it. You got to, you know, you look at it and you go, hey, I'm choosing that this is an area of my life that either sucks or is a meh. And I'm going to say yes to it. But when you do that, you can get about 5 to 10 hours a week out of your life by just committing to uncommit from those things you hate.
Yeah. I mean, that's, you know, we got what, 10 hours a week? I mean, that's 40 hours a month. That's a whole extra week.
Yeah. Yeah. You're talking like 70. I mean, if you're making, I think, $20 an hour, I did the math one time. I think it was like you're making $75,000 back or so. I mean, it was something. It was ridiculous where I was like, dang, we're making a lot of money if we can just get rid of 10 to 10 hours a week in our lives.
That's huge. And so then so we start to reclaim that back. We start breaking it down and understanding what we need to remove, things that we love so we can focus our time and attention there, what we can delegate, and then where do we go from there?
Yeah, so then we go to the next step, which is you begin to design. And what's the life you want to live? Now, here's what most people do is they start with, you know, what's the mission I want, the purpose I want, the strategic plan I want.
Right.
There's actually a couple of things you need to do first. And the first is you want to design space in your life. In other words, one of the big mistakes that a lot of people make is they plan every single minute of their day, right? So I'm going to have a meeting from 2 till 3, and then from 3 until 4, I'm going to have another meeting. And just that little bitty overlap right there of, you know, 3 where you end the meeting and 3 where you start the meeting, that's impossible to do. That creates a lot of stress. So you design space into your life, 15 minutes here, 10 minutes there, so that you've got margin for surprises and interruptions and emergencies. And then the other thing that you want to design in your life is what I call the core four. And this was one of the huge insights. And that's highly productive but unbusy people, people who have margin in their life, do something very different than just really busy people. Busy people try to cram in relationships and recreation and rest and reflection. They try to cram those into their lives, but there's no room for them to cram anything into their lives when they're super busy. What highly productive but unbusy people do is they actually block those things first. They block relationships, who are the most important and the most energizing relationships. They block recreation, things they love to do for the sheer sake of doing them, which actually gives tremendous energy and clarity to life. They block time for rest, whether it's naps or whether it's mental rest, whether it's just taking a walk. They put that in their schedule. And then they block time for reflection, time where they can look back and go, hey, where have I been the last few days? What have I been doing the last week? And where do I want to go as a result of that? So that's how you begin to design your life. You put those things in your schedule first and then build everything else around those.
Yeah, I think that's huge because, I mean, obviously, type A entrepreneurs, you know, I mean, we're always, you know, you're pushing, going. And a lot of times you don't have that rest. You don't have that downtime that you need, or you don't plan in your health and your fitness and all that. And that's, I know one of the big things that we try to do, especially with my kids every morning is, you know, we're up, we work out, we have a morning routine that we go through. So we are able to, you know, get that time that we need for that. And so I think that's significant, and planning that around first, I think is a huge step for people for sure.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Don't make that mistake of just trying to cram it into the nooks and crannies because you don't have any nooks and crannies.
It's
hard. It is. It's impossible. Yeah.
Because you get like 5 minutes of this and it was like, wait, what? That wasn't enough.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So that's the third step in the process is you begin to design that life that you want.
Okay.
Man, I hope you guys are really loving this episode of Making Bank. Tons of amazing information. And guys, if you're a small business entrepreneur, then this is for you. Obviously, you know, running a business is challenging. You have endless to-do lists, employees to take care of. Everybody wants your attention. And obviously, your bottom line, your profit. So first of all, kudos to you for staying on top of it, pushing through those challenges, and just really focusing on taking care of your employees and your customers. And I want to tell you about Gusto. Gusto built an easier and more affordable way to manage payroll, benefits, and more. They've helped over hundreds of thousands of businesses, even ours. Our business as well uses Gusto with tasks like automated payroll tax, filing simple direct deposits, free health insurance administration, 401ks, and cool onboarding tools. And you just name it, they got it. Gusto made it very easy. And they really care about the small business owners, the entrepreneurs like you that they work with. Their support team is attentive and very helpful. They help get us up and running smoothly and easily. And since money can be tight right now, you'll even get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Check out Gusto. Just go to Gusto, GUSTO.com/makingbank and start setting up your business today. You'll see what I mean when I say easy, guys. 90% of the customers that switch to Gusto say it was very easy. And 85% of the customers running payroll, it's now even easier than their previous company that they've worked with. So again, guys, I'm super excited. They're giving you 3 months free of payroll at gusto.com/makingbank.
And then what do you build from there? So you kind of got your people you want to be around, you got your rest and your relationships and your free time kind of all mapped out. Then what, how do we
make
our business fit and all that?
Yeah, so recap, step one, decide, step two, deconstruct, step three, design, step four is develop, okay? So develop is all about developing the habits and the calendar in order to live the life that you want to live. And so it's learning. You talked about some of this already, Josh. It's learning how to time block, right? A lot of us talk about how we time block and then we forget about time blocking.
Sure.
So it's learning how to time block. It's learning how to prioritize what's really, really critical to you. So I take people through something called a could, should, must list. And so a lot of times when it comes to priorities, we try to prioritize everything. And so with the could, should, must list, you write down all of the things that you could be working on. So you can do this on a daily basis. You can do this on a yearly basis, a quarterly basis. But it's where you just kind of get all those things out of your mind that you're like, I could be working on these things. And then from there, once you have that list, you say, okay, what are the things that I feel like I should be doing? Like, these are the ones that create a lot of internal pressure for me. And so you highlight those, right? Here's the 10 or 20 of those that I feel like I should be doing. And then you identify your must. And a must is no more than 4 things. I try to limit it to 3, but even when I try to limit it to 3, I'm like, I think I could get a 4th one in there. But you really kind of limit it and say, these are the ones that I must do in order to live the life that I want to live, in order to move my dreams forward, in order to move my business forward. These are the ones that I must. So a could, should, must list gives you this ability. And then there's one other thing that you develop, and that's you develop how you're going to spend your time off. And I encourage people to take at least one full day every week where they fully disengage from anything they consider work. And I'm not just talking your job or the business that you've started. Like, for me, yard work is work. I hate yard work. So if I'm going to take this day off, I'm not going to do anything that I hate. And my whole family does this now, where we just say, hey, here's our day. We're not doing dishes. We're not cleaning up around the house. We're not doing yard work. I'm not checking email. We are going to disengage and do things that we love. And so that's when we go back a lot of times to those core 4 of relationships, recreation, rest, reflection. And we build a whole day for those things. That allows you to be so much more productive. And it's been amazing as I've worked with clients. A lot of times this is the biggest pushback I'll get, is they're like, I can't take a full day off of work. And yet I'll say to them, hey, give it 6 weeks. And if you're not as productive as you were in 6 weeks, and inevitably they'll come back and go, okay, I'm getting more done now than I ever was when I was working 7 days a week.
That's awesome. No, I think that's huge. Now we have, you know, we're building out that plan. We're, you know, have everything designed, everything around us to make sure we're first priority. We're, you know, moving in that right direction. Then kind of how do we wrap all this up and kind of package this all together?
Yeah, so that's the final step, and it's a ton of fun. I call it draw others in. And I'll tell you, I made a big mistake when I first started rolling this out. I didn't have this 5th step in. It was just, decide, deconstruct, design, develop. And then I was working with a client, and I was like, her name was Kim, and she had done everything. I was having a big celebration for her. And I said, Kim, how do you feel? And she was like, I feel really lonely. And I was like, oh, that's a terrible thing. That's not what we wanted to hear. And I said, why do you feel lonely? And she said, because nobody around me is unbusy. Everybody else is still running at this, you know, this hamster wheel speed of life. Sure. And I'm all by myself. And I said, okay, we got to change this. And so the 5th step, where you really begin to wrap it all up, is drawing others in. You draw in your family. And I take people through exercises that help you as a family decide, hey, what's the pace of life that we want to live together? How do we want to approach life? And because a big mistake that parents make a lot of times is feeling like they've got to give their kids every opportunity that their kids want to have. And what ends up happening is in every kid is individually getting a whole lot. But when we put all of that together, we've created highly overwhelmed families. In fact, the average teenager today has the same level of anxiety or has higher levels of anxiety than the average institutionalized mental patient in 1960s. Wow. Yeah, I mean, our anxiety levels are off the charts. So you want to draw in your family. You want to draw in your friends because you love them and you want to spend time with them, not just get together for coffee for 15 minutes and talk about how busy you are. Sure. And then you draw in your team and you get your whole team or your whole organization connected to how do we accomplish more in less time. And I was reading about, so I didn't work with this company, but I was reading about a business recently that said, we're going to do a 6-week experiment and limit everybody's hours to 30 hours a week, which sounds crazy. 30 hours a week. We're going to limit it to 30 hours a week and see what happens. And their productivity skyrocketed. And so, yeah, you want to draw others in.
And then are you trying to, you know, as you're drawing them in, trying to get them also unbusy, or are you just saying, hey, here's what I'm doing? I guess, what's that buy-in that you're looking for from them?
Yeah, well, I think part of it depends on the level of authority and responsibility that you have within your organization. But I would say what you're aiming for is, yes, to get people first, make busy a bad word, right? Get it as a bad word in your organization. If people start talking about how busy they are, like, that's an expletive, that's unacceptable. And then what you want to really get them to do is to say, okay, how many hours a week can you commit to work? And maybe you give this to them, right? Like, okay, no more than 40 hours a week. Here's what you're responsible for. Here's how many hours are your max hours per week. Mm. And then how can we fit all the work that you need to do in that time? Because at the end of the day, your people are going to be so much happier if they're doing things other than working 80 hours a week. So, so when you begin to put those constraints in there of, hey, you can only work 40 hours a week or 30 or, you know, 45, whatever it is, you can only work this much. And how are you going to get everything done in that time? It forces us to think creatively on how we're going to go about accomplishing it.
Mm. No, that's awesome. Cool. Well, I know we just got a couple minutes left, Garland. This is just super awesome. So, guys, I hope you guys are really taking notes. Listen to what he's saying. He's dropped so much content in this last 30 minutes, and you guys need to go back, watch, listen to this again, rewind it, and keep writing those notes down, and then start applying it. Start going through these steps. And Garland's got an awesome book out. Where can they grab a copy? I know you said you had something you wanted to where they can go get the book at and everything.
Sure. So, of course, you can go to Amazon, you can go to Barnes & Noble, Borders, any of those places, and you'll be able to find it. But I'd like to give you something for free. I will give you a copy of Getting Unbusy for free, a signed copy, no less, if that's important to you, and I'll ship it to you. If you pay the shipping and handling, I'll give you the book. So just go to killbusy.com, and you'll get a free book, and it'll be sent in the mail to you ASAP.
Super cool. And then one last thing I know is, like, you're like, oh man, I was hoping Josh was going to ask me this, but we were like grinding, grabbing all this other information, sharing all this content. What's one last thing you want to just like, hey guys, I really want you to know this. This is something super important you got to take away today.
Yeah. So here's how I would say it. If you complain about how stressed out you are, but brag about how busy you are, that is the equivalent of complaining that you have lung cancer, but bragging that you smoke 2 packs a day. Like, if you're stressed out, you've got to get unbusy.
Super awesome. Garland, thank you for coming on Making Bank. Super awesome. Love all the stuff that you're sharing today. And I think it's a huge advantage for people to just listen to this and start applying it and really start to become unbusy in their lives overall. So thank you for coming on Making Bank today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Josh.
I am Josh Felber. You are watching Making Bank. Get out and be extraordinary.
Thank you for listening to Making Bank. If you have enjoyed this episode, please leave a review. And sharing is caring. Follow Josh Felber on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram for more. You can also listen to Making Bank on Amazon Alexa, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and watch on Apple TV, Success Thinkers Network, Amazon Fire, and YouTube.